So one of my favorite songs in our Sacred Selection songbook, which I think you guys have here, you do from time to time as well, is a song called Farther Along. And the very first verse in that is so touching to me. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be so lonely and drear when there are others living about us, living so wicked year after year. I'm probably butchering a couple of those words, but you know, we feel it's strange to us that we go through life when we're trying to live for God, we're trying to live for Christ, and there's so many people around us that are living so wicked and such terrible lives, and they seem like they are so much happier than what we choose to be or what we claim to be as well, right? And so the very first part of that is tempted and tried. Yet why am I faced with all these temptations and trials and persecutions when people that are living around us, living so wicked year after year, seem like that they're not faced with any of those kinds of things? And so that's what I want to talk about for the second hour this morning, is temptation. But I want to look at it maybe in a little bit different light than what we're used to talking about. Temptation usually is looked upon in a negative connotation. And we're told that we should stay away from all forms of temptation and don't go near any kind of temptation or anything along those lines. And I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm not saying, well, if you're not tempted by alcohol, then you're okay to walk into a bar and stuff like that. That's not exactly where we're going with this lesson whatsoever. And I think you'll find where we're going with it as it continues to go along. In the Discipleship Journal, back in November of 1992, the question was asked, what are Christians' greatest spiritual battles? The Christians' greatest spiritual battles. Granted, this was back in the early 90s. Might change a little bit in today's generation, but I think you might find some of these things would be the same as well. Materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness, anger and bitterness, sexual lust, envying, gluttony, and even lying as well. That's one, the gluttony part, I haven't heard really too many lessons done on, but you know, excessive eating or drinking, which I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, self-included, that we all might have time to time trouble with that struggle or with that temptation. These survey respondents noted temptations were more potent when they had neglected their time with God. About 81% of those folks made that statement. And when they were physically tired, 57% of those folks stated it. So I'm tired, I don't feel good, maybe feeling kind of lazy as well, and so I'm going to only think about self. Right? I'm not going to think about my spouse, I'm not going to think about my kids, just let them fend for themselves. I'm going to do what I want to do. Or when maybe we see somebody at work that is wearing something rather revealing, because we have not been in the Word, we haven't had our nose dug into the Bible to see what God or God's methodology of how we can overcome pride or temptation or struggles or trials of life. Maybe I, in my own mind, have committed adultery, you know, against my spouse because I lusted after that individual that was wearing something rather revealing. And so we can kind of maybe sympathize or maybe understand to a degree where these statistics are coming from, because we know that temptation knocks on all of our doors at all the time. Anytime sometimes we think, well, I'm not going to be tempted by X, Y, and Z, is usually when X, Y, and Z shows up at our door, spiritual door, and starts knocking on it and says, hey, go ahead and open it up a little bit. And so when we crack open the door to see what's on the other side, that's when temptation starts slowly creeping itself in to where one of these days we wake up and that door is wide open. There's no greater example in the Bible, if you ask me personally, of temptation other than Matthew chapter 4. Where it reads, then was Jesus led up in the spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We could have used this in our last segment as well, right? Every word that proceeds from the Bible or out of the mouth of God. Verse 5 says, and the devil takes him up into a holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give you, if you will fall down and worship me. For said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. What a powerful, powerful passage of verses that we read here in relationship to not only just temptation, but how we can overcome temptation as well. And so what I read out of this is that first and foremost, there's prep work that needs to be done in order for us to overcome temptation. It says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led into, by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward and hungered. So this is Luke's account from what Matthew just got done describing to us in relationship to the temptation of Christ by the devil. The one key part of this that Matthew left out that Luke here does a great job at illustrating is what? Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost when he returned from Jordan and then was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the prep work that needs to be done for all of us as Christians to overcome temptation is being filled more with that Holy Spirit. To being more filled with the Holy Ghost. To, as we talked about in our first segment this morning, putting our noses in the Bible, asking ourselves the question, or asking God the questions, God, what do you want? What do you expect out of me? How can I be the strongest version of me that I can possibly be so that I can be filled with the Holy Ghost, that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit? I tell you, one thing that I feel when I know that I've really been to a good, true worship service, and it has no difference with if I'm speaking or not speaking, sitting down in the pews, or whatever the case might be, is when I get done with that worship service, I'm energized. And I know that energy is coming from the Holy Spirit. I know that energy is coming from two or three gathered together, being in His name, and His presence is there with us. That energy is coming from the prayers being led by people lifting me up in songs and praises and to His high and holy name. And there's been time, even after gospel meetings, when I've seen some brothers and sisters in Christ that I haven't seen in quite some time, or maybe we've had visitors there that's been really edifying and uplifting and stuff like that, I feel energized. I feel spiritually just there, right? I feel like I could conquer anything. And to me, that's being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's being filled with the Holy Ghost. Or maybe you and your spouse have sat around at the dinner table at night and had great discussions relating to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you've had a great conversation with your kids or a conversation with your coworkers. Just a few, about a week or so ago, we played church at our house and Brady led us in a song or two and Harper did a mini lesson, which we were okay with at that particular time. She had stuff that she wanted to talk about and stuff. And when we got done, I felt energized. I thought, you know what? We turned the television off. We put our phones down, we opened up songbooks, and we just sang together as a family. You know, we talked about God as a family. So there are all sorts of different mechanisms, all sorts of different things that you and I and all of us need to be engaged in so that we too can be filled with the Holy Ghost. We too can be filled with Jesus Christ and spirituality as well, because when we can do that, it'll really assist us a lot in being able to overcome temptation that the devil will throw at us from time to time as well. How much are you being filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, right? How engaged are you in your Christian life? I dare say it's very difficult to say or make that claim that you're filled with the Holy Ghost if you are the box checker of a Christian that we call him from time to time, right? You come to services, you sit there with your arms crossed the whole time, maybe we'll engage in a hi, how are you doing kind of a thing from time to time with folks, and then as soon as the last amen is done, you're out the door, you're in your car, and you're going home because you want nothing to do with anybody, you don't want to talk to anyone, and let alone the challenge of even showing up to a worship service. I don't know about you guys, when we've had to cancel due to weather, when we've had to cancel due to a circumstance like that or whatever the case might be, it throws me off. I'm thinking to myself, this is Sunday, right? I should be at church, but I'm here, but it's 5 foot of snow outside and ice elements and stuff. And so what we've been doing at our congregation now is starting to do the Facebook Live stuff. And that's been great for me personally to, you know, put together some thoughts and then present a gospel sermon on that. It's not the same thing, but at least it's given myself and those that are able to listen a little taste of what the Holy Spirit and a biblical subject. And so you have to ask yourself that question. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. These are ways of how we can be engaged in our Christian life. We can do it through prayer. We know, we understand that prayer is our communication device to God. How on earth would we function as a society today if we didn't have our phones? If we didn't have text messaging or the Facebook chats and all that kind of stuff? How on earth would we function? There was a photo went out just the other day on social media, and it's this little girl, and it looks to be an elderly gentleman. Is there, just kind of staring at the little girl, and the little girl is paying him no attention at all, just playing on her phone, playing on her smartphone. Could have been texting, could have been playing a game, we just don't know. But how sad that is today, that our communication device to God through prayer is what usually is put aside for our physical communication device, which, let's be honest, moth and rust can corrupt. Savannah threw Amber's phone across the room the other day, cracked the screen. So we know that those things are susceptible to bad things happening to them. Prayer is not. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You want to talk to me? You know how to do it. What about through accountability, right? Or through partnership? Keeping each other and holding each other accountable, I think, is one of the main ingredients that we as that we in the church maybe get wrong from time to time. Accountability. Holding each other accountable for all the things that we are striving to do in life. Looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, looking at verse 9 beginning, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift his fellow. But to woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? I love those verses. And I encourage you guys to highlight those in your Bibles or underline them. How can two, he says plainly, two are better than one because they have a great reward for their labor. If one person falls down, it's hard for them to get up by themselves, isn't it? And we've all been there. When we fall flat on our face in life, it's very difficult for us to pick ourselves up. But what gets us up quicker than anything is what? Surrounding ourselves with good, moral individuals, our brothers and sisters in Christ who love us genuinely, who care about us, who want to see us succeed, who want to see us get back on our feet and keep on walking in the right direction that God wants us to go. We need to make sure that we understand that, brothers and sisters in Christ. In Proverbs 14, verse 1, it says, Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. I tell you what, and I think I can brag a little bit on this, but God knew what He was doing by not allowing me to marry some of these, I don't want to get in too much trouble here. God knew what He was doing in not allowing me to marry some of the people that I dated in the past. I'll put it that way. You know, how fortunate and blessed I am to have a loving spouse that loves our children and most importantly loves God more than she loves any of us. And that's exactly what I looked for and that's exactly what God brought into my life. And how fortunate and blessed I am to have that accountability in my life because, you know, God knows that I needed it. And God knows who we need in our life as well. And then what about through engagements? Being able to prep ourselves and to be engaged in our Christian life just through simply being engaged. I think too many times people think, well, I'm not allowed to lead song and they have too many preachers and so I can't be engaged. That's not what Christianity is all about. And as a matter of fact, some of our sisters in Christ, you can be more engaged than some of the brethren are. And I've seen it happen. And I've seen awesome work being done because of those sisters being engaged the way that they are. Matthew 26 and verse 41 states, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's being engaged, watching out. Not only just, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman, not just looking out for herself, but looking out for her household, taking care of her household, being a keeper to her household. So not just watching out for self, but watching out for those that are around you as well. In my work establishment right now, I work up at AFRL at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and we have a really good team except for this one woman. She's the wife of a former colonel in the Air Force, and she is about self and self only. If somebody else gets an award, well, why didn't I get that award? I'm doing more than what they are. If somebody else is going through troubling times, she'll say, well, let me tell you about all the troubling times that I've gone through. If I came in and say, hey, my family and I just got back from Disney World. Well, my family and I are going to Aruba. Just stuff like that, you know, and it's mind-boggling. Everybody in the office talks about her like a dog because nobody wants to be around her. Nobody wants to fellowship with her. And so we can be engaged, watching out, looking for those things that might damage us, looking for those opportunities that might encourage us, watching and praying that we enter not into temptation. Those are all preparations to help us get through or leading up to temptations. And the next topic I want to talk about is something we don't really talk enough about, I personally think, and maybe you guys might disagree with me on this, but I think we should embrace temptation. I think we should embrace them. We live in a society today where we cannot lock ourselves in our house, lock ourselves in a room, throw the key away and say, I'm just going to sit here for the rest of my life and no temptations are going to bother me. Temptations are out there, guys. And I think as a parent to three small kids, I see it all the time now. And I see the world that unfortunately they're going to have to grow up in. And I used to tell myself, God, you know, don't send Jesus again. I was my younger self. God, don't send Jesus again until I get married and can enjoy my spouse and can enjoy some kids. That was just my personal selfish wish. Well, now I've been married for almost 12 years and I've got three beautiful kids. So now every day I'm thinking to myself, God, anytime you want this to happen, anytime you want to, you know, sound that trumpet of the Lord and stuff, I welcome it. Not that you need my approval or my opinion, but I welcome it, Lord, you know. I fear for the world that our kids are going to grow up in, or they're growing up in right now. I can't believe, I was talking to a fellow brother about this the other day, the topic of abortion has come up again, and it's come back up with a vengeance. We're talking about a, 1970s verdict, and now all of a sudden, in 2019, you know, we're talking about it again, and it's in full force. Even to the point where they had somebody on Congress the other day, a doctor testifying what abortion is or how they kill the young baby. I watched that video and I was sick to my stomach at the conclusion of that video. I thought to myself, how could any human being in this world perform such a murderous task like that? But that's beside the point, and that's for another topic at another time. And temptations, we need to embrace them. Think about our desire for, I don't know if we call it soda pop, if we call it just Coke, if we call it pop. Wherever you're from, whatever your background is, you probably call it something different. Think about our desire from that. We build up a tolerance eventually, or an endurance, where the temptation doesn't bother us anymore, do we? You know, after a while, at least I've been told this, which I've cut down significantly on my pop intake and stuff, but after a while, and especially Amber went through this as well, she went a couple of months without drinking any soda pop at all. And now she says the very thought of it is like, eh, doesn't sound good to me. Because you built up an endurance of not needing it anymore, right? That's what we should do with the temptations, in my personal opinion. You know, build up that tolerance. Hey, if it's a temptation, bring it on. I've got the whole armor of God. I'm ready to conquer anything that I can. And if I do fall down flat on my face, I'm ready. I've done the prep work. I'm ready to get myself back on my two feet, and I'm ready to keep going. And so we need to build up, do our best to build up this endurance. Think about this. How do you react when you are tempted? Has the proper prep work been done? Jesus did not eat for 40 days. I dare say I go 4 hours and I start getting what my wife likes to call hangry, right? You get the attitude that comes along with being hungry a little bit. And so I need to eat something, a snack. You know, I'll go through the cupboard and thinking to myself, I'm starting to sweat a little bit now. I need something to eat, a little popcorn or something, you know. We can't go a few hours without eating. And here Jesus went 40 days. Now, I know the argument's going to be, well, he's the Son of God and had power and stuff. I get all that. I understand that. But that's still a huge endurement. That's still a lot of prep work. That's really being filled with the Holy Spirit, where you're focused more on your spirituality, it's more focused on God than you are your own physical and fleshly stomachs. So what happens? What this means is, embracing means we have to come to the realization that much learning, much energy and a lot of focus is on the horizon, and we need to be ready for it. Not one of these situations where that looks really rough. That path that I'm getting ready to go down looks rough in life. I need to go do something else. My family has had to endure that over the past really handful of months with Brady, and he's now starting what they call this ketogenic diet, which was originated to help young children with epilepsy. And Amber and I went to the store yesterday, and we've never been so overwhelmed in our life. I mean, we had the list of what he can versus cannot eat. And Brady said, you know, he was asking, can I eat this? Can I eat that? And I told Brady, I looked at him, I said, hey, take a deep breath. So he took a deep breath. I said, that air is pretty much all you're going to be able to eat, bud, if I'm being honest with you. And so we as a family had to decide, are we going to embrace this challenge? Are we going to do everything we can and overturn every rock for his health? Or are we going to say, no, let's just medicate him up. We got to do something else. You know, that temptation is just too great, too powerful, too strong. We have to be able ready to embrace temptations when they do come our way. If we think that we're going to live our life temptation or trial free, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have another thing coming. They're always going to be there. And every time you think you might have a temptation or a trial done, man, was that a struggle. I need to relax now. I need a vacation. Oh no, friends. There's another one coming down the pipeline if it's not already there. Temptations and trials will always, always be there. Let's turn over to James chapter 1, if you would, please. Most of these verses I try to write out for sake of time. But James chapter 1, look at verse 2 through 6, and it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What? Count it all joy? To me, that means embrace them when they come. Knowing this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Where do I want to go? 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven in the wind and tossed. And skipping down to verse 12, it says, blessed is that man that endures temptation, embraces them, endures them. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He's ready for them. He's accepting those challenges that God has awaiting for him. Where would we be today had we not had the storyline of Job that never gave up, whose own wife and people around him says, curse God and die. We want nothing to do with this Lord. But Job, in the back of his mind, said, hey, Naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked will I return. Praise the Lord. You know, he embraced those temptations. And that's important for us always to consider. Prove to yourself that you can overcome those things. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Prove to self, I can do this. I can overcome this. Maybe you've lost a loved one, and maybe that's what's harboring in the back of your mind. You know what? That a little bit of that pain is always going to be there, but I can overcome this for the betterment of myself and for those that are around me. I can do this. You know, old mom or dad or grandma and grandpa would want me to anyway. I can overcome this. What about temptation from a friendship standpoint? There's nothing, especially if you're young in age, we all want to be socially accepted. We all want society to accept us for who we are. But sometimes what happens? We conform to society as opposed to letting society conform to us and our ways through the Word of God, right? And so picture the temptation of the devil with the temptation of those who are around us as well. We see Luke chapter 4, verse 9, if you be the Son of God, right? Well, if you really love me, well, jump off this bridge with me. How fast can this car go? In a nutshell, prove yourself to me. Young people in high school, right? When more people, well, I shouldn't even say high school, and especially and even in the junior high levels today, when young people are getting and becoming more sexually active. Well, you know, if you really love me, then let's consummate our relationship, you know? Unfortunately, that's the world our children live in today. And it's so sad to see that. But prove yourself to me. Show me that you can do it. Show me how much you love me. Show me how much you care about me. If we're not careful, we can associate ourselves with the wrong crowds. And so the temptation from a friendship standpoint is something we all need to take very, very seriously especially in the lives of our young children. But then look how Jesus, over in Luke chapter 4, verse 12, look how Jesus responds here. I'll get there in a second. Luke chapter 4, verse 12, he says here, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I know what you're trying to do, and it's not going to work." That's a powerful statement from Christ, and it's a really powerful statement coming from us as well. Go ahead and take that first, you know, sip of alcohol. It's okay. You know, we can all drink together and socially drink. And I don't know too many good things that have come out of socially drinking college people, to be honest with you. The news is full of accidents, full of fatalities, because people decided, well, we can give in to temptation this one time. We must be careful. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times." So the people that you do associate yourself with, make sure that they're loving you for who you are and not compromising for who they want you to be. A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Watch out for the company that you keep. Hey, even us as Christians, right? I'll be frank with you. I think everybody knows me by now. I'm an open book. I'll talk about anything that you want to talk about. But there are some people in the Lord's church today I would have a hard time being close with, to be honest with you. Right? I'm not trying to play the judge. I'm not trying to say they're wrong in this area or that. It's just I've seen the way that they've conducted themselves. I've seen how they treat other Christians. And I've seen how, you know, they've told things that was supposed to stay between them and a confidant. And I'm just not comfortable with that. We have to be careful who we make friends with. There is little effort on our part to conform to those around us, but the strong will allows others to conform to them. Make sure that you're brushing off on those folks as opposed to them brushing off on you. I have one more here, but I'm already out of time. I'll fly through this real quickly. Temptations is not compromising, right? We look at our generation, where many who profess to be Christians compromise with the devil. Just because you're a minister doesn't give you a get-out-of-jail-free card. We live in an age of compromise. Politicians are full of it. I've seen Christians that are full of compromise. They do anything they can to bring in the crowds, no matter what that might be. But the Bible has told us that we need to learn to stand fast, knowing that standing equals the opportunity to be knocked down. Anytime you're on your two feet, people are going to try to knock you down. Sometimes they're successful, but the successful Christians are the ones that are able to bring themselves up with the help and the love and care and support from others that are around them, and most importantly, from Jesus Christ. What does he say over in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9? "If though we or another angel preach any other gospel than that you have heard, let him be accursed." And he says it, he emphasizes it by saying it another time. Don't listen, don't adhere to, don't listen to anything else other than the doctrine and the commandments of Jesus Christ that we have in the written Word of God. Revelations 3:16-17, and also Joshua 1:7 says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever you go." That's talking, obviously, in Old Testament times, but don't think for a second that that's not meaning to us today as well. Just because, you know, get the Word of God and turn not from it to the right or the left. Stay down that straight and narrow path that leads into righteousness, because that's the path and direction that God wants all of us to go. So lastly, steps in overcoming. Our last slide is identifying what are my temptations. I've got to prepare myself. Am I armed with what I need for victory? I've got to learn what are the methods that I can apply to help myself cope and help me get through these trials and temptations. And then lastly, conquer them. Conquer them. Do whatever it takes according to the will of God to conquer your temptations, to conquer these trials and tribulations that you go through. Sometimes they last for weeks, months, if not years. But don't give up. Because when you do, you have fallen exactly into the trap that Satan has led out there for you to fall into. Be careful. Be watchful. Be vigilant. The devil is a roaring lion, it says in 1 Peter 3, is a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. We have to make sure that we are watching out, embracing these things, coming up with those methodologies that helps us, and will help other folks as well, and then conquer these things. Guys, thank you so much for, again, for this opportunity and this occasion to stand before you and boldly proclaim another gospel of Jesus Christ. I look forward to seeing you all again back next month. Looking forward to our upcoming gospel meeting as well. And you know, reach out to me. If there's topics or issues or things that you're personally struggling with, I might have a lesson already ready to go. If not, then I'll put something together. I'm never one that says I'm going to preach what I want to preach and that's it. I want to help you. And I had a preacher tell me that one time. I'm here to help the people. I'm not up here for myself. And so I want to help you guys. In return, it's probably going to help me as well. If there's ever a topic or something you'd like for me to study on and present a message of the gospel of Christ, like I said, I might have already done it, and I'm glad to present it. And if not, I will definitely get that material together for you. If you're in the audience and not yet a Christian, we've talked about briefly some of the first principles, and I think we all know what those might be. If you're in the audience and are struggling with temptation or trials or separation from God in any way, shape, or form, please let us know. While together, we stand and sing praises to God at this time. Thank you.